Jesus was 40 days old. The time for Mary to come to the temple and offer the sacrifices of purification. Women who gave birth to a son were purified by coming to the temple and offering a lamb as a burnt offering and a pigeon as a sin offering 40 days after the new baby had been born. Luke tells us that Mary offered a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So why did she offer that instead of the lamb and the dove? This detail tells us that Jesus didn't just have a humble birth, but also lived a humble childhood. Mary and Joseph were poor. We know because they brought two birds to sacrifice. The law called for a lamb as a burnt offering and a pigeon for a sin offering, but they couldn't afford a lamb, or they would have brought one. So she brought two pigeons, which was allowable and was known as the offering of the poor. So as Mary and Joseph came into the temple that day, there was no great fanfare. In fact, I can only imagine, as I came to offer what I had, which wasn't quite what was required, but what I could do, that I would come pretty quietly, actually. Right? And as they got there, I can just picture them carrying this baby, 6 weeks old. You know, at 6 weeks is when babies start to get the ability to grasp. Wonder if he was swaddled tightly, or if his hand was free to explore that new ability to grasp, to wrap his fingers around the world and to bring it to him. Because just as he wanted to bring the world to him, Mary and Joseph sought quietly to come close to God. They came to the temple to do what was required to remove the uncleanliness that separated Mary from God. And they had just enough to sacrifice. Little did they know that that baby they were carrying, almost 6 weeks old, lying in their arms, would be the lamb for the whole world. They didn't know. But his glory was revealed to two who were there in the temple, who were some of a few people who were known as the quiet in the land, Simeon and Anna. We don't know how old Simeon was, but we know that God promised him that he would see the Messiah before his death, and that when Mary nestled Jesus into his arms, he exclaimed, "Now, Lord, you're dismissing me in peace." He was ready to die. Anna, we are told by Luke, was old. Now, we don't know exactly how old. We know that she was married 7 years before she was widowed. So if she married around 13 or 14 and then was widowed after 7 years, she would have been 20 or 21. And then the Greek is a little bit unclear. Sometimes we translate it that she was 84 years old. And sometimes we translate it that she lived 84 more years after she was widowed. And I sort of lean toward the 84 more years after she was widowed. So she might have been as old as 104 as she approached Mary and Joseph with their newborn in the temple. The point is not how old Simeon and Anna were, but that they had lived long lives. They had known what it is to live. They were realistic people. They had known grief. They had known disappointment. But still they waited patiently, faithfully, prayerfully. They went to the temple to seek God because they had hope. expectant hope that God would fulfill God's promises. See, the quiet in the land didn't expect the Jewish nation to become masters of the world through military force. They waited for God to come and break into the world somehow. Biblical scholar William Barclay reminds us that there was no Jew who did not believe that somehow, in some way, the Jewish nation was the chosen people and would eventually rule the world. How would that happen, though? Some people thought that great celestial champion would descend upon the earth. Other people expected that a king would arise from David's line and Israel would be restored as a great military power. Some people believed that God himself would break directly into history by supernatural means. And then there were the quiet in the land, who Barclay said had no dreams of violence and of power and of armies with banners. They believed in a life of constant prayer and quiet watchfulness until God should come. And there in the temple, God revealed that the time had come to them. Simeon and Anna's hopes were realized. With an offering of the poor, Mary and Joseph came with God's Messiah, the anointed one who would save his people even from their own sinfulness and get rid of that need to offer anything but yourself. Simeon and Anna saw his glory. It was a moment of epiphany, of revelation. And as he held the baby Jesus in his arms, Simeon looked into his eyes and said, "My eyes have seen your salvation." And he turned to this baby's parents and he said, "This child is destined for the rising and falling of many in the land." And Anna bustled about to all who were around among the quiet in the land, looking for the redemption of Israel, telling about this child. And Luke tells us that Mary and Joseph, this baby's mommy and daddy, were amazed at the things that were being said about him. The hopes and the expectations of Israel were being fulfilled. God himself had broken into human history by supernatural means. He was of the line and the lineage of David, and even the celestial orbs pronounced his birth, because already a star had arisen and was guiding wise men, philosophers who studied the stars, to him. Like I told the children, Epiphany comes from the Greek and it means to reveal. The Holy Spirit revealed Jesus as Messiah to very specific people, to Simeon, to Anna, to the wise men. But it wasn't just their hopes and expectations that were fulfilled. It was the hopes and expectations of all the years, of all the world, and it was ours too. The passage from Ephesians that Lorenda read this morning is a prayer of blessing, celebrating this revelation. New Testament scholar N.T. Wright says of this passage, "Only by understanding and celebrating the larger story of God's relationship to humankind can we hope to understand everything that is going on in our own smaller stories, and so observe God at work in and through our own lives." See, we only understand what God is doing in us when we understand God's full story. From the foundation of the world, Paul says, God chose Christ to be holy and blameless before him in love. That's God's whole story. And God chose us for adoption as children through Christ. It is universal. Before the foundations of the world. And it is specific. You were chosen to be God's own. Your story is part of God's larger story. Simeon and Anna understood when they saw that baby that God was in their midst because they knew the larger story. In fact, Simeon quotes the prophet Isaiah in his exclamation as he realizes that this baby is God's own anointed one. The wise men studied the night sky and sought to understand how it is that this great story works in our lives. Faith, seeking understanding. Study, seeking truth. Expectation, receiving revelation. And they saw his glory. Through faith and study and expectation, may we too see his glory. Amen.